Have you ever heard of soul salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for listening in. It's listeners like you that make this show possible. By the way, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, I hope you'll send them to us. You can do that by reaching out through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Thank you for having us in your home, in your car, wherever you're at work, wherever you're listening. We're so privileged to be able to talk about theology and the Bible with you, and thank you for listening to us. I heard from someone yesterday who said, I listen to you guys every single day, and I'm just absolutely knocked off my feet, you know, whenever people say that. And it was just such a privilege. Wow, what an amazing way to minister to people. This is not something that we would have thought we were doing when I started working here back in 2012.
That's right. GES has been around for over 30 years now, and it's only the last couple of years that we've been doing this. I kind of regret we didn't start it earlier because this is reaching a lot of people, not only around the U.S., but around the world.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. You guys have such interesting questions. I'm so glad that you're asking them, because a typical Sunday morning evangelical church service just simply isn't a place where you get to ask questions and get answers. You know, some churches might do it better, like around a Lord's Supper table where the men get to ask questions and converse. And that's a much better way of learning, asking questions and getting your answers and clearing things up.
Sure.
But we're also happy to do this with you and for you through this podcast. So here is a question from Andrew, and he asks about Acts 22:16, and he says, what is the GES view and explanation for Acts 22:16 in relation to soul salvation? This verse is a deal breaker for someone I am currently discussing salvation with. All right, let's read Acts 22:16.
Okay.
Paul is recalling how he came to faith. Is that right?
Right. Now, Paul came to faith on the road to Damascus. He had been persecuting Christians, and while he's going to Damascus to arrest more Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem that they would be tried by the Jewish authorities, while he's on his way, he meets Jesus in a post-resurrection appearance, and he's struck blind. He comes to faith. He said, what shall I do, Lord? That's in verse 10. And the Lord says, arise and go to Damascus, and there you'll be told all things which are appointed for you to do.
Yeah.
Now, he's not telling an unbeliever about things he's been appointed to do. He's telling a new believer what he's been appointed to do.
Right.
And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, I didn't receive my gospel from any man, but directly from Jesus.
Right.
Now, here, a man named Ananias is told that he's going to restore Saul's sight. He's also introduced him into Christian fellowship.
Right.
And so this is what Ananias says. These are the words of Ananias in verse 16.
An interesting choice by Luke, because we've already read this in prose in Acts chapter 8, where Luke tells the story. And then he has Paul repeat the story near the end of Acts. I just find that's an interesting literary choice.
Well, what happens actually in Acts, three times Paul gives his testimony, and some people say the reason it's three times is it's tying in with the Old Testament idea of two or three witnesses.
Okay.
But in any case, it's clearly emphasized.
Interesting.
And by the way, in verse 13, Ananias says, brother Saul, receive your sight.
So brother.
He would not call the persecutor of the church brother Saul unless God had convinced him this is a born-again person. And so he's giving him advice not on how to be born again,
right?
But he's telling him what he needs to do to be in fellowship with God.
All right, so I'm going to read from verse 15. So again, this is Ananias speaking to Paul. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I guess from Andrew's question, if I can guess the context of who he's speaking to, probably his friend is saying, it's not enough to believe. You need to get baptized to wash away your sins, and also you need to call on the name of the Lord. So maybe Andrew's friend is saying you need to believe, baptize, and you need to call on the name of the Lord to be saved at all.
Right. Now, some people say the calling on the name of the Lord is what you do when you're baptized, so that baptism itself is a calling. So some people would say, no, there's just two things here. But within Churches of Christ, a big denomination in the United States, this verse is used along with Acts 2:38 to prove the need for baptism in order to be regenerated. Now, they have five things, they would say. You've got to believe, you've got to obey, you've got to confess, you've got to repent, and you've got to be baptized. But this would be one of them. But when he says, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, this fits perfectly with Acts 2:38.
Yes.
And the point is, in the early church, Jewish believers who were guilty of having killed the Lord Jesus Christ, having affirmed that he should be crucified, they were required to be baptized and to turn from their sins in order to receive the forgiveness of sins and to receive the Spirit. And so this is perfectly in keeping with that. And by the way, we don't find anywhere in Paul's letters, he wrote at least 13 letters, some would say 14 if you count Hebrews, but I don't think so. In none of his 13 letters does he say that you need to be baptized in order to be born again. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, around verses 16 and 17, he said, Christ didn't call me to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Right, so he sees a difference there, and it's not even part of his mission.
Of course, we find repeatedly in Paul justification by faith alone, apart from baptism, apart from works.
Yeah.
And also, Andrew, I would point out to him that, look, the analogy of faith says we understand difficult passages in light of the clear. Let's say this passage is difficult. I don't find it particularly difficult, but let's say that it might be understood by some people to teach you need to be baptized to be born again. Well, then all we have to do is compare this with John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 6:47 or Ephesians 2:8 and 9 or Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There are example after example after example. In Acts chapter 10, Peter leads Cornelius and his household to faith, and they're born again before they're baptized. And that's the Christian example of what is happening after the early years of the building of the church. It became commonplace for everyone to receive the Spirit and to be forgiven at the moment of faith. And baptism was something that was done subsequently, but not in order to receive forgiveness or not in order to receive the Spirit, because in Acts 10, that all happened as a package deal. And in the church age today, that's the way it is for everyone who comes to faith. So I would urge Andrew, point your friend to clear verses. What they have to do in order to somehow make baptism a condition, they have to somehow read baptism into John 3:16.
Yeah.
Or all these other texts.
I mean, I also find it helpful to distinguish between the promise of eternal life and what Jesus called the gospel of the kingdom, which is a message to Israel.
Right.
That John the Baptist preached, Jesus preached. I think Peter preaches in Acts, in the early chapters of Acts, offering the kingdom to Israel. And I think all of this is part of that. It's like the Jews needed to be baptized. They needed to believe. Calling on the name of the Lord, that's a salvation concept, not an eternal salvation concept.
Well, in Romans 10:13.
Right. What does it mean in Romans 10:13?
Well, it's ultimately looking to the national salvation of Israel, but during the tribulation period when Jewish people are being hunted down and killed, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved from physical death and saved so that they're not dying during the tribulation and they're able to go into the millennium and experience the national salvation of Israel, which is what Romans 11:26 says. There's a day coming when all Israel will be delivered from the oppression which Israel has been under since 70 AD.
Right. So, I mean, you could go a lot deeper in this passage.
I shouldn't say Israel, because obviously Israel wasn't a nation between 70 AD and 1948 in May. But the Jewish people have been oppressed ever since this time.
Right.
Even during the time when Jesus was speaking, they were under oppression from Rome.
Sure.
And so they were looking for deliverance, and you could argue that really, the last time at which Israel was truly a sovereign nation and it was free from oppression was probably Solomon's reign. Mm.
Okay, so that's an answer to Andrew's question, and we only have like a minute or so left, but I think we can do this in a minute or so. This is a question from Stephen, and Stephen asks, my question is, with whom are we relating in our Christian life in terms of our relationship with God? Jesus instructs his disciples to pray to God the Father. The apostles in Acts seem to be relating to the Holy Spirit in terms of guidance. And Paul interacts with all three in his letters to the churches, praying to God the Father, receiving his gospel from Jesus, and being directed by the Holy Spirit. So who exactly do we have a relationship with? And I think he answers his own question.
I think he does. All three. Obviously, we're normally to pray to God the Father, although Stephen in Acts chapter 6 does see the heavens opening. Acts 7, I mean, he sees the heaven opening and he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
Yeah.
Of course, he's actually seeing
he's
him.
Talking.
So
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know if we can call that
Is
prayer.
That a prayer? I don't know.
But obviously, we love God. And
yeah.
that means we love God the Father, we love God the Son, we
yes.
love God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We love each one individually, and we love God. God is one being, but three persons. And
right.
so it's complicated, but...
But each person of the Trinity has their proper work, and we relate to God through each of the persons.
Absolutely.
And actually, you and I and Ken Yates are working on a new book called, tentatively called, Doctrine for Disciples. And each of us has a different chapter on the persons of the Trinity, and I assume each chapter is going to talk about the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit.
Right.
So we're going to get into that in that book, so look out for it probably summer 2021.
Great.
Doctrine for Disciples is what we're hoping, anyways.
Yep.
Well, thank you for your questions, Andrew and Stephen. It was great to hear from you. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.